I'm going to look with you this morning at Judah. I may have referenced the tribe of Judah before, or the individual Judah. Judah as an individual was present when Joseph was grievously sold, terrible behavior, and therefore Judah was guilty by association. But it's amazing when we come now to near the end of Jacob's life and he's speaking to his sons regarding what the future will be, he has no condemnation for Judah at all. I'm sure all of you are aware that Judah is the royal tribe. It is the tribe from which the Lord Jesus Christ came. It was the most prominent tribe. And this day of report from Jacob, if you want to call it that, by way of prophecy, was a good day for Judah, as he was told about his descendants, how they would be prosperous, and how they would be preeminent. And so it turned out to be. For when the tabernacle was built, Judah was at the door. They were first with the offerings there in Numbers chapter 7. When the people crossed Jordan in Joshua 15, there and so on, they were in Joshua 15 were first to get the land. So they were prosperous and they were preeminent. In the book of Judges, the tribe of Judah were the first to go against their enemies. And already for me, and I'm sure for all of us, there's a lesson there. If we put Christ and his cause first, we put him in this cause first, then we will be blessed spiritually. There's no guarantee of material blessing, but we will be blessed spiritually. Judah's descendants were those who would prove the value of selflessness. Hard thing sometimes to genuinely live selflessly. Bill Woods, we mentioned earlier, he lived a selfless life. He just gave everything up to go and train to be a doctor, to be able to go to Brazil to cure people with leprosy. And he spent years and years and years doing that with little thought of any of the ordinary things, as we would call it, that normally take place during life's journey. He just lived a selfless life. Caleb was another one. Caleb had another spirit, the Bible says. It says that he fully followed the Lord, and he was of the tribe of Judah. And here this morning we've read in Genesis 49 about Judah. And Judah, the name Judah, means praise. In fact, very often in the Bible, the word that is translated praise is the verbal form of Judah. And some of Judah's brothers received very challenging tidings from Jacob when he was speaking to them regarding the future. Some of them would need to, and some of them would make adjustments. And folks, we're near the end of 23, and it has gone quickly enough. There have been many, many encouragements for us as a congregation, maybe discouragements as well, and as families and individuals, we've all had our ups and downs. But as we come towards the end of another year, it's good to take time and look at our heart and examine our own motives. And think, well, I didn't get it all right in 23. I'm going to endeavor with God's help to do that in 24. Well, you can do that. In fact, it's not too late for hope for the rest of 23 as well. And for any who are not saved, well, there's still time left in this year to come and to seek the Lord. So this morning, for a while, I want to look with you at a message that I have entitled Judah in Focus. Judah in Focus. I want to say first of all that there was great respect or honor associated with Judah. We mentioned just now that Judah means praise, and of course when there is praise, that would involve singing and it would involve heart worship. But the principal idea with the word that's translated praise, and sometimes Judah as well, is to pay tribute to. to pay tribute to. And there in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 8, it's chosen there that his brethren shall praise him. Now, I'm not sure how that set with them when they heard that Judah was going to be preeminent as a tribe. But it simply means that they would acknowledge the position of Judah. Remember Leah, his mother, and how she paid tribute to what the Lord had done whenever Judah was born. And folks, you and I, as God's people, those who are saved by his grace, surely among all the people on earth, we want his name. And we need to praise his name, to lift up his name. Over there in 2 Chronicles and chapter 7, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 says at the very beginning there, it says in verse 1 that the glory of the Lord filled the house. It was a good day. Then it says there in verse 3, and when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And then in verse 6, and the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. You will see here that there's an acknowledgement of God's might and majesty. These people could have dragged his name in the gutter, and so could I. So could we all. We could drag his name down into the gutter by spreading untruths, by how we live and how our attitude is, by seeking to chase after the world instead of following after him. But what a blessed thing to lift up the name of the Lord by acknowledging his might and his majesty in our life and in our worship. And that's what we've sought to do. And folks, God willing, that's what we will continue to do, as these people did. They acknowledged his might and his majesty, but they acknowledged that he had brought joy to their heart. If you read verse 6 carefully, it was the Lord that gave great joy to their heart. And there's always problems, folks. Always something to be worried about. Sometimes things to be very stressed about. And I don't say this exclusively to people with children, but when you have kids, and there's always one thing after another, and that never really changes. It's not the kids' fault. It's just how life is. There's always something to worry about. But it's good to know that he can give joy to our hearts, even in the midst of all of that, and we can still seek to lift up his name. They also acknowledged, if you look in verse 7 there, it says, moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord. For there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. They acknowledged that he provided, or he brought peace to them. And in a troubled world, it's the Lord ultimately who will bring peace to any of us. And it's a good thing this morning just to ask our heart, or ourselves, is there praise in our hearts for the Lord? And do we seek to uplift his name? Do we want to uplift his name? And while I mentioned earlier free will offerings there and the envelopes, and that's important to keep the work going, the best thing that you and I can give to the Lord as we come to the end of another year is ourselves. There's an interesting passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Maybe you would turn there just briefly. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'll read on because of a few verses here. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power. They were willing of themselves. These were great people. People who were selfless and were seeking to do what they could, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship, or the word means encouragement, of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped. And then it says, but first gave their own selves unto the Lord and unto us by the will of God. It was a presbytery on Friday night, and very encouraged just when you hear what is going on in the work of the Lord and how many people are involved doing all kinds of things. But you know, overall, there are relatively few who are pastors, ministers, or missionaries. But there's so many others. So many others who are involved. And so many of the folk in our congregations have first of all given themselves unto the Lord, as it says there in verse 5, and unto the will unto us by the will of God. They've given themselves unto the Lord, and then they're willing to do what they can. It might be something that is never noticed, but something no doubt that is absolutely important in the work of the Lord. There was that enthusiasm in that they gave their own selves unto the Lord. And coming towards the end of 2023, if there's one thing I would like to do, I'd like to give myself afresh unto the Word, because to the Lord, because I know the world is always calling. And the flesh is always opposing, and the devil is always attacking. So we ask the Lord for new enthusiasm as we come towards the end of another year. And I think often of those, wasn't it, Romans 16, where the Apostle Paul has their names recorded. He made sure of that they were thanked for what they'd done for him. Most of them we knew nothing at all about. They're not mentioned anywhere else. They're unsung heroes. People who are absolutely vital in the work. And it wasn't because of their outstanding talents or their winning personality. It was because they gave their own selves unto the Lord. And folks, that's to encourage you. That is something that every single one of us can do. Whatever age we are, that is something we can do. There was their enthusiasm. And there was, of course, if you look there in verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. And he said, what is the grace? What's he talking about? Well, verse 6, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Keep on going. Keep on going, encouraging one another. One of the ladies in the prayer meeting this morning prayed that we would love one another. I haven't used the word for quite a while, but it's not, we're talking here about a type of love that is sissy. But we're talking about a proper Christian love for each other. A proper care and a genuine concern for each other. So when you think here of a focus on Judah and the meaning of its name, of the name Judah here, it is a name that is ever, forever associated with respect and honor. And in a day when the Lord's name is used so often in a swear word, and the world by and large has great disrespect for him, surely we who are saved ought to respect him and want to uplift his name. I trust I've said enough to have everyone here understand that you don't need to be a preacher, or you don't need to be a missionary. You do something, and your presence here means you're already doing something. And please keep on doing that as we come towards the end of another year. But look on again here, thinking of focus on Judah. There was gratitude expressed in connection with the name Judah. The Hebrew word praised that is mentioned to you is sometimes translated Judah. It actually means to give thanks. To give thanks. Now, over there in the Psalms, Psalm 119. This is what it says in Psalm 119. In the section beginning with Keth, that is verse 57, says in the beginning, "Thou art my portion, O Lord." And folks, that's a great expression. Remember that too. The Lord is a portion of his people. It's a portion that is appropriate. It is lasting. It is satisfying. It is boundless. And it's yours. Because the Lord is our portion. On down in verse 62. "At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments." Now, the word keth there at the very beginning, the Hebrew word, or so letter as well, it simply means loving kindness. And when you consider the loving kindness of the Lord, it's brought out in verse 62, because of thy righteous judgments. Surely they ought to be that desire in my heart to thank him, to thank the Lord, to do as Leah, remember when Leah got Judah, she said, "Now will I praise the Lord." And again, it means to thank. "Well, I thank the Lord." Her intention was to give thanks. And believers, you and I have so much to thank the Lord for from our hearts. I'm going to just mention a couple of things. We're looking here at the second point, that there's gratitude connected with the name Judah. Well, we can give thanks first of all for spiritual progress. Spiritual progress. Sometimes in ordinary businesses, if we can call them that, the tide ebbs and flows. Quite a few different types of shops, restaurants and coffee houses and so on have closed during 2023. Others have opened. Some different businesses seem to have done remarkably well. And in that kind of business, it goes up and down. But as far as spiritual progress is concerned, notwithstanding the struggles, we can always go forward. Notwithstanding the struggles, we can always go forward. And when that happens, we want to thank the Lord for it. I was struck by the many times that the apostles thanked the Lord. Especially Paul thanked the Lord for spiritual progress. He was always looking more. But he took time to thank the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57, it says there, you'll see that it is in the context of the victory of Calvary. Death is swallowed up in victory, verse 54. But verse 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And now that is a verse of gratitude and thanks. But then it says in verse 58, "Therefore," or in other words, on account of that, because you always, therefore always takes you back to the words before. "And therefore, on account of that, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." The word there, steadfast, simply means settled or steady. It carries the meaning of reliability. And folks, it's all tied in with giving thanks to God in verse 57, for it says, "And his victory," because it says, "Therefore, my brethren, be ye steadfast." It's considering him and taking a moment every day to think of all that he has done and to thank him for spiritual progress. You may have had your struggles in 23 like everybody else. And I mean genuinely, you may have had struggles and you tried your best and you still struggled. Well, continue on looking to him, because we look there at the steadfastness, meaning settled or steadfast. It's him that gives that to us as we look to him. But let's thank him for what he's already done. We thank him for spiritual progress. We thank him regarding the furtherance of the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ." And then it says, "And maketh manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place." And the thought here is of the furtherance of the gospel, verse 12. "A door was opened unto me of the Lord." In the middle of that verse, you'll see it's It's to preach Christ's gospel. And God has given another year of civil and religious liberty in Northern Ireland. We're very thankful for that. But he's given opportunity for the furtherance of the gospel across the world as well. We have two families. God willing, in 24 will go to the field. The Hamilton family will go to Kenya. And the Macaulay family will go to Uganda. And just from here on, our congregations will be informed that Elizabeth Edwards, who's a young lady, belongs to Lisburn congregation, who's just finished the college, she also is going to Kenya. And therefore, the Lord is sending out men and women. And when we listen, I mentioned this earlier, and we hear of all that's going on in the mainland and especially away across the world, how thankful we are. Them little calendars that we give to you there, or we mentioned to you there that you can have, you can see the list there of all the different needs that there are. Many of those items on the list are regarding places where the gospel is going forth across the world. We think of the Let the Bible Speak ministry and how that has been opening up and how there are big plans for a Hohol and for the witness in Armagh, Bombridge and Marifel already being used of the Lord. And we're thanking the Lord for that. I mentioned to you there just a little bit earlier on sermon audio. We preach and we leave it at that. We have to leave it with the Lord. We don't know who's going to listen. But isn't it encouraging when you get a list and there's so many places in the world that have downloaded 1 or 10 or 20 or 100 downloads? And who knows? There could be half a dozen people sitting somewhere know the Lord and they don't know what to do. And they need a word from him. And there's nobody within miles and miles and miles and miles because of the vastness of where they are, nowhere they can fellowship. And they need a word. There was somebody else, and they've come to the end of themselves. And life doesn't seem to hold a great deal of purpose for them. They need to hear the word. And that's what we're about. And we thank the Lord for the furtherance of the gospel. We thank him for spiritual progress. But very importantly, it's very important to thank the Lord for our brethren and sisters in Christ. Just to take time to do that. And that will make a difference to us. Over there in Colossians chapter 1 and at verse 3, the apostle here is showing his appreciation. He says, "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all saints, hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." Very, very lovely opening part to this epistle to the Colossian church. You will see there in verse 5 it says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." It literally means on account of the hope that is laid up for you in heaven. And of course it all revolves around the word. And he's expressing a great love for them here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. "But we are bound to give thanks." She has to do with gratitude we're looking at the moment. "We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation." It doesn't say because your personality is just the same as mine. It doesn't say because you're brilliantly talented at something. It says because God has chosen you to salvation. That was good enough. And it still is. That was good enough to give thanks to God for one another. Verse 16, "Now the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." How good it is to pray for each other. When you see someone trying to do some wee thing for the Lord, how good it is to pray for them and to be thankful for them. And if someone encourages us to be thankful for them. And of course you'll see here, as in the other ones we read, it's all around the word. It's around the word. We're quite privileged in Northern Ireland in that wherever you go, if you're on holidays down in County Down on the coast there, there's a couple of our churches there you could go to. If you're on holidays up on the north coast, there's a couple of our churches up there as well. If you go to the Lakelands in Fermanagh, there's a couple of our churches around there as well. And we have the opportunity for fellowship. But just a few years ago, Jareth and myself and some of the boys were over in Chester, and there just near, I'm not sure where it was near, Chester anyway. But on the Sunday, we went to Holywell Evangelical Church. Now, I know that some of the people in Northern Ireland would have people they know go to that church and so on. But we went in there to Holywell, and there's, I'm not sure, somewhere between 25 and 30 of them in the morning. And they were really, really friendly. Mostly older folk, but really, really friendly. And they invited us to come back again at night. And we did go again at night. And again, there was a similar number of them gathered out. And the fellowship among them was very noticeable. That they loved one another in the Lord. Real hard work. They tried to start a Sunday school somewhere down quite local to them in the afternoon. And people didn't want it in the area, so they damaged their vehicles. So they had to stop. And now they're met together. And I was speaking to the pastor. I don't know how long he's been there. Can't remember his name just now. But he said, sure, I was talking about the fellowship. And he said, but isn't it all on the Word? Isn't it all around the Word? And so it is. It is around the Word that we have this fellowship. And we're able to give thanks for spiritual progress, for the furtherance of the gospel, and for our brethren and sisters in Christ, because we're in the Word. And the Word teaches us to do all of that. When you think of Judah, you think of praise, but maybe from now on we'll think of the importance of giving thanks. So many things at the end of 23 we're asking for. We would all love to see revival blessing. There is none these days. We would love to see many being saved and hear of people being saved in everywhere. It doesn't happen everywhere at the minute. But there's so much to be thankful for. Let's not forget that. I have one final thought here regarding Judah. And it is the importance of keeping short account with the Lord. Importance of keeping short accounts with the Lord. Over in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, and I will be as brief as I can here. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 24. It says here, and the people of Israel, and if the people of Israel be put to the worse before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name, and pray and make supplication before thee in this house. They're back in a good place now. They're lifting up the Lord's name, and their heart is in tune. Then hear thou from heavens, and forgive the sin of the people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest to them and to their fathers. When the heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray towards this place, and confess thy name, and turn from their sin, when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servant. You see the word confess in verse 26, and confess thy name. That word confess is a word that's related to the name Judah. To the name Judah. And it teaches us that it's so important to keep those short accounts with God. 2 Chronicles chapter 6 is used in association with the name of God and confessing the Lord. Remember Leah that we mentioned earlier on? She had her struggles mentally, emotionally, and you can see that in Genesis 29. But at the end of that chapter, in verse 35, her eye is no longer focused upon the difficulties, the disappointments, but her eye is looking to him, relying on him and resting on him. The name Judah and the word for praise, I've mentioned that a little bit earlier, and I just bring this in here, it actually is derived from a Hebrew word which means hand, yod. And it's speaking about the hand of the Lord being on his own. And so often when God's people are mentioned, it mentions his hand. We're in his hand, John 10. His hand was upon Nehemiah when he spoke to the people. He told them that. He would tell them of the good hand of my God upon me. So it all ties in together as we come to the end of another year, and the focus is upon Judah. We do remember when we think of Judah, the importance of honoring the Lord and praising him and uplifting his name. We don't forget the gratitude that we owe for spiritual progress, the furtherance of the gospel, and for each other here. But then we remember that we cannot harbor sin and expect to prosper, because this whole section in 2 Chronicles 6 is to do with confession and the getting the hand or the arm of the Lord and walking hand in hand with him. I finish by saying that the Lord Jesus Christ is of the line of Judah. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And Christian, you and I can triumph through him. We can triumph through him. And dear unsaved person, he is the only one who can save your soul. And whatever else life seems to offer you, it does not compare with his offer of salvation. And what a blessing it would be for you if you today would have put your hand in his by faith. And this one that we're looking at, Judah, who is the tribe from which the Lord Jesus Christ came, associated with gratitude and praise and honor and being in communion. What a blessed thing for you today to be able to say, I'm now in communion with God because I have Christ. Because I put my hand in his. I trust the Lord will help you to do that wherever you are as you listen to the message today. May the